Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, people of the rugby world. How are you doing this fine Monday evening? It is I, Chief Gaff, joined again by the usual, the gruesome twosome, Mr. 30 Points himself, Dragon. What's up? You overcooked that score like you overcook your brisket.
Oh my God.
All of us.
No, but you way overcooked it. You cremated that thing. But anyway, thank you. What is?
We didn't think Quaid was gonna feel it to that extent. That's what we should just accept. Well done to that man.
Okay. Thank you for that. And Hizzle to the Bizzle. What's up, bro?
I'm doing good, man. I've been telling all these Aussie fans, Nick White is better than Ted Dermott.
These people, you know what? I was working on my monologue earlier, but I think we'll delve
please
straight
go.
Into that one.
No, please hear the monologue.
Oh, no. The monologue is, you know what? I think every once in a while, you know, you get things wrong. And sometimes you have to be humble enough to actually say, you know what? Well done. And we've been extremely critical of the Wallabies of late. Not that any of that criticism is unwarranted.
It was.
Yeah, not that it was unwarranted, but we have been quite critical of them. So much so that certain individuals decided to become a bit vocal about it. But we'll give credit where credit's due. Well done to the Wallabies. Well done. Good, by your standards, very good performance. Sorry, I had to just be but no, honest performance. And I think the biggest winner from Saturday was not Quay Cooper. It wasn't the Wallabies. It was just, I think, rugby won in a major way. You know, what that guy's been through over the past 4 years, what he was put through because of personal vendettas, because of, you know, the mistakes he made as a young man, you know, it was unwarranted. A lot of it was. And I still think that, and I think he vindicated himself and proved that no matter what happens, man, you can't hold a good man down. You just can't. So well done, Mr. Cooper. Very, very, very good day out after your 4 years. We salute you, sir. Now, how woeful were the box?
Oh, dude. It was very uncharacteristic. Andre Pollard, I haven't seen him kick that.
It was pretty characteristic of Andre Pollard kicking in the last couple of games. So don't give him a free pass. That dude's been missing kicks like Noah, Lola Seo.
But this was a bit too much. But again, they looked very jointed. I say they didn't show up on Saturday, on Sunday. Didn't look anything like the box side that we saw in the British and Irish Lions. But then again, we may say this. Maybe we actually overrate the decency of the Lions squad as well, you know, and what they put to the party. It was very uncharacteristic. You know, from the box side that we've been watching, they would look very organized against, well, at least in the second test or the third test against the Lions. They looked like they were in control. They look phased. What I saw on Sunday, and I'm not going to take anything away from Australia, because I think there were parts of that game that actually just were Australians playing brilliant rugby, right? But the box for the first time looked very vulnerable to a team that, to me, does not seem very organized.
Okay.
You know, when I say this, it comes back to, okay, did Australia really bring a kicking game? Do they actually have a kicking game that they employ or whatever it is to try and counter? Not really. Do they have a running game or a pattern that is so distinct that you could say, okay, this is how they can beat the Bucks. No, they didn't. But somehow they managed to string together whatever they string together, and it worked. And they happened to beat the Bucks on the day. And that's just where I'm coming from there. So it was a disjointed Aussie side that just showed a lot of character and put away the box. That's the way I view it. A very disorganized box, a box that just haven't, that didn't look the same as they had looked all along.
Interesting. HB, what's your take on it? What do you think?
I think for South Africa, I think there was a level of complacency that they showed in this past game. They came out and players like Eben, it's a bit, I don't know, this past game, he seemed like he was a bit lackluster. Maybe no one riled him up and pissed him off. But SA seemed like they were a bit too calm. And they tried to bully Australia. Like that first policy tackle, that was basically a tackle to be like, I want you to fear me for the whole game. And it backfired.
Was that the yellow card one?
Yeah, the yellow card one where he tipped that dude. That was just him trying to assert dominance early on in the game. And it backfired really badly for him, you know, because I think he went a bit too far with that tackle. And then Australia, lucky because I think it's because Quade was there, were a lot calmer than they normally are. There's a lot of calmness in that game. No one was panicking. You know, even the a few breaks, like the break that was started off by Hooper, where they got to the five. I thought they were going to lose within three or four phases, but they held up that attack for a good 12 phases, which is uncharacteristic of the Aussies in the last four games, six games, even against the French. They couldn't do that. They weren't that calm, you know? And yeah, I'm happy they won. I'm really happy they won because SA need to wake up and Australia need to get out of that downturn that they were on, so... Good game, well done Australia. And I think we've discussed how Nick White is going to start over Tate McDermott after what Tate did on Saturday. Nick White might end up starting continuously. Because
yeah. I agree with you. Look, I think it was more of the way South Africa play. While effective, it hinges on certain pillars, right? Yeah. It hinges on certain pillars. Those pillars are obviously physicality in defense, especially on that rush defense, and being able to make the hit hinges on that. It hinges on accuracy in terms of the kicking game, and it hinges on, again, the aerial game. And the kicking game, both off the tee and out of hand, and it hinges on aerial dominance. The parts in that game where South Africa dominated or were on top were the parts that all those three pillars were present and all those three pillars were standing strong, right?
Yeah.
When South Africa started to falter was if one of those wasn't where it should be. Take a look at Mapimpi dropping the ball.
When
Kellaway didn't even contest, right? Take a look at that. That was a pivotal moment. Take a look at for Kellaway's try. Kerevi, defenders rushing up, they didn't make the hit.
Faf missed the tackle. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Faf missed that tackle like wildly.
Yeah, and
very wildly.
Take a look at Andre's kicking. Not great. You know. So those sort of three parts, those three pillars to the South African game, if you can disrupt or if you can nullify one of them, odds are you're going to win. Odds are you're going to win. And that's the sad part. If you can nullify one of them, and Australia snuck through because they didn't completely nullify. They were inconsistent with it, you know. Australia should have been penalized a lot of times. There should have been that stuff that was going on at the mall when they were clearly, like, DeAndre hadn't even, his feet were way off the ground. They were already engaging. they were getting away with those things, but that also nullified it. It killed South African momentum to a large extent, right?
I just feel so I agree with you. You know, obviously, I mean, the pillars, it's so understandable. I mean, when you watch South Africa's game, it really does hinge on that. And accuracy in all of in all three, right? But I still believe that even if you nullify one, usually they can rely on the other two to get them across. But like you said, it was a bit, it was, they were very inconsistent on Sunday. They couldn't even get, you know, it was one firing after the other, almost like a, like it wasn't a, it was almost like a domino kind of, you know, that's how inconsistent they were. So if it was the physicality, they would get the ball, drive it up, excuse me, and execution of the kick, the kick in play is poor, or they fail to retain, which is what they've been doing, you know, since the World Cup. They've been able to retain, I think someone calculated to about 70% of their contestable kicks, right? Suddenly they couldn't do that on Saturday. Then you got Hundre that comes on, and you know, he's, I think he slotted, was it one or two? What was the total they actually slotted? I can't even remember. But he starts missing the kicks.
He took down about three, but he missed the crucial ones.
He missed when the crucial
it really
ones.
Counted. Yes. Right.
Well, and then Damien missed the other one, the most crucial, isn't it? And it, so it was kind of, you know, it's one of those things, though. And I guess that's rugby, guys. That complacency definitely could have been seen. They thought it was a foregone conclusion. And I think someone else had a discussion with this week, was talking about how the box probably weren't looking at the Aussie games as being a big focus for them. And they were looking two games ahead. All right. And probably already planning for the All Blacks, and really did not consider that these guys are actually, they've got a point to prove, which they did do on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst it was in patches, you suddenly saw what they can do. I mean, that center pairing right now, Ikitau, wow. Right. That's all I can say. Wow.
Defensively, and his presence at the breakdown, phenomenal. And Tino, you need to understand how good this dude is. He is good, very good. Parisi is going to struggle to get into that team. That jersey is not just going to be handed back to Isaiah Parisi. And Parisi is a great, phenomenal player going forward. But the defensive work that Ikitau put in was amazing. I mean,
he was on the ball.
He has a long way to go. But that is a combination, a midfield combination that you can really build on. That you can really, really build on. Because I think they balance so well and they play really well off each other. You know.
Him and Karevi, yeah.
Him and Karevi.
And that left boot, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he had that. I was quite surprised.
That's a weapon. That in itself is a major weapon to have. It's huge. Yeah. Huge from a back, from an exit point of view. It's massive. It's huge. And so they've got some good moving parts. The Wallabies are far from the finished article. I still think there's no place in that team for Lachie Swinton. Personally,
yeah, I agree.
I don't think 100%. He adds much. I'd rather you put McMahon at six.
Well, he's back now, which is good.
Yeah, put McMahon at six because the work rate is huge. The work rate, physicality is there. He's also a line-out option. This is a guy who said, the way I play, I think I'm going to retire before I'm 30. That's the type of individual that you're going to put in there, right? And then you put your Pete Samu at eight. Because I think Pete Samu is a footballer. He's a footballer. Yes, he's got grunt, but he's a footballer. And then what I would also do is in the second row, this is where you need for your total pack balance in terms of your ball carriers. Matt Phillip, for me, was ineffective. Isaac Rodder.
He didn't add much.
Rodder was great. Matt Phillip, not so good. And this is where you need a skeleton now for carries. You need a skeleton to start with Isaac Rodder or one of the Arnolds. There. Because
yeah.
Okay.
Now you've got a mixture of athleticism and grunt. I still think in the front row, Tupou needs to start. And Mans from the force needs to have a go, because Folau Fainga was not great. You know, nearly gave us a heart attack when that scrum collapsed. You know, as well.
First scrum out of
course. I'm happy he's okay, because he landed in a really awkward position. But I think Folau Fainga needs to just take a bit of a break, and let's give someone else a go. And you guys know, I think Kellaway is doing fantastic. Sorry to hop back and forth, but just going back to the back line quickly, because I forgot. Kellaway has been fantastic, but the boy needs to be tempered. He needs to temper himself, because that kind of niggly sort of attitude is not going to take you far, man. It's not going to take you far, because, you know, it's not going to take him far. He needs to temper it himself, but he's young. So it's that, just that balance. Yeah, and you know my thoughts on Tom Banks. I think when O'Connor comes back, I'd rather see O'Connor playing a 15, because he's got all the attributes of a wonderful 15.
And I think he's back this weekend, actually.
I'd love to see O'Connor at 15, Cooper at 10. Honestly,
I think he's actually available. But to be fair on Tom Banks, I think he had one of his better games this weekend. He played a far better game this weekend than I've seen him play this whole year. Wallaby jersey.
But you know what the funny thing is, when you said that, I think a lot of players this weekend for the Aussies seemed better. Even Valentini seemed better.
But no, he Valentini did. As well. Yeah, it's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Is it also not a case of, isn't it part of the problem that when you've got a bunch of young players that are in any side, right? Everyone is trying to do too much, and you start to feel like I need to compensate for the challenge that another player is going through, right? And I think Noah's absence, to an extent, I think has helped these guys focus on what they need to do and them alone.
Yeah, definitely.
Not carrying dead weight.
it's not dead weight per se. But you know, you know, it's very, you know, you got to remember, Noah's very young.
Right? Are you okay?
Now you've got, so you got a Valentini at eight, playing at eight, a Tate McDermott at nine, two young players as well, not the most experienced players. They're now having to try and worry about what's going to happen if something doesn't happen, what if something goes wrong between Noah and McDermott. That's going to be a concern, right?
Yeah.
You look at Tom Banks, he's thinking, okay, fine, I need to be able to cover for Noah just in case. And I'm not saying Noah's a shit player, but I'm saying those kinds of things do weigh on you as a player when you start having to think beyond your core role first and you start worrying about the things that might happen. And suddenly Cooper comes into the fray and, you know, then you've got guys that realize, oh, shit, I just have to focus on me.
I can go.
And again, right? And this is the thing, man. To just jump, you've hit the nail on the head. Guys like Kellaway can just focus on scoring tries.
Yeah.
Focus on scoring tries, right? Marika does his thing. Although he met his match a little bit with Spoo. But he does his thing. You need to have experience. That squad needs to be peppered with experience. I have said it over and over again. You fixed one element
of the spine.
You just fixed one element of the spine of that team, and look at the difference. And then with Samu coming on, let's look at the 15 that finished, right? That finished that game. Obviously, Mans from the force. I need to learn this guy's name. Part of the spine. Brilliant. Right? Yeah. Rodder, brilliant. Okay?
Yeah.
Samu at eight.
Mm-hmm.
Samu
came in at...
Six. Six, yeah. Okay.
For Swinton.
All right, for Swinton. All right, so we've got Valentini at eight, had a better game, fair and fine.
Yep.
Nick White at nine, brilliant. Oh. Cooper, brilliant. So you had a lot of that spine were guys who... were the right guys. That's why they carried. That's why they finished. That's why they managed to get across the line. Because they had the right guys in the spine to finish that game. Now,
We could Karevi.
Yeah, and then Karevi as well, because Karevi also is part of is. I'd also put the 12 as part of the spine.
Sorry to interrupt, Kev, but when you say that, look at Karevi's carries last week. The amount of work he had to go through,
dude,
last week against the All Blacks versus this week, and they still managed to get over the line. I'm not saying he wasn't working as hard, but I think he was being put to the right use, as opposed to just being told, take it up.
You're the main man.
You're the main man.
Go there. Do what you do.
Yeah, but I'm just happy that I'm happy they did the job. It was a good performance from them, and I think it tempers the South Africans a little bit, and I think it sets us up for a really good sort of weekend, a really good game this weekend, because we know what the Springboks are like. They're a highly emotional team, so when they're driven by that anger and that it's fantastic to watch. Because now they're not coming to just take part. They're coming to do some serious damage with every tackle, with every carry, at every breakdown. It's awesome to see, you know, and the way Vermeulen played as well. I mean, first game back in 2 years wasn't bad. Played pretty well.
He was solid. Solid.
Did Malcolm Marks come on?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Played well. He scored 2 tries.
I think Bongi actually had quite a poor game by his standards.
Look, I think we. You know what? Let's not. No, I'm trying to get the phrasing right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not be too harsh on the individual players in the box. Let's be less sort of emotional and just throwing criticism everywhere, right? Let's be more analytical here. They lost the game because they were inconsistent with the three pillars that make their game, right? They were inconsistent.
Sure, yeah, 100%. So I agree on that.
It's not that individuals were woeful or were horrible. They were just a little bit on the inconsistent side. And this stuff, it's the unforgiving nature of rugby at this level.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that's what it is.
And it's the unforgiving nature of having this is no slight on the box, but a simplistic game plan. A simple game plan. This is the problem. Because the plan B, real plan B.
This is it.
And look, before we even get carried away with the superlatives, with the scream, guys, like, if Ahmed caught that ball and had not dropped it, it'd be a completely different story. And that was a fantastic, fabulous kick from Faf.
True, but we could also then turn around and say, well, you know, had Reece
caught the ball. I know we can say that, but let's.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, you know, let's not be as sensationalist about it and be like, oh, they crap. They're not. Like, let's not be sensationalist about it. Let's be a bit more analytical and more tempered in our approach.
Really. I think we'll be stupid to think that the box are suddenly vulnerable and, you know, this is going to totally throw them off.
Everyone's vulnerable. Everyone's
not this box side,
but that was exposed in that if they are having an off day with one of those pillars, they are there for the taking. They are there for the
taking. Now, but I think with a more clinical side, I think, you know, this is again manpower, and you know, so when you look at the Wallabies, right, they struggle with that. I looked at that Reece Hodge tackle because he was talking about how good Willems's defensive work was there. I couldn't help but think that if it was a Haveli or anyone in the back three for the All Blacks, they would have shifted that ball where Hodge was hit. He didn't actually have to try and catch the ball per se. That could have been a quick flick. Corey Betty was on this outside and that was try time all the way. And that's a manpower thing. That's a skill thing. And unfortunately, you know, this is what it is. You unfortunately have to deal with the guys that you've got on the pitch, and when it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
True. So anyway, let's move on to the All Blacks performance. 39-0. What do you guys think?
So allow me to apply an adjustment. I'm not recanting my statement, but Jordy Barrett, you showed promise this past weekend. I can safely say, if you play like this every game, I shall recant my statement. I shall bring it back to myself. I shall return my words.
What's the he has to be on the park long enough, doesn't he?
Because to be able to do that. Because Jordy on Saturday, no guys, the man played. I think he was like, thank you for nothing.
Jordy, bro, did you
guys? I'm talking about Jordy Barrett. Let me just finish. The man played a good game. I'm sorry. Others had better games, I agree, but Jordy, for him himself,
did a good game. You thought he had quite a good
game. I thought he had a good game. I wanted to say to myself, okay, well done, Vanna. I might be able to return my words.
Jordy had a phenomenal game. I thought Bowden was very, very good.
Oh man.
Bowden said, I'm back. He said, hello. Look,
very,
I'm back.
Very good. Bowden was very good. I thought Laulala and Tuinuku Afe came.
Yo, Paul looked like he was on drugs, dude. I don't know what. Someone pissed that guy off because
his carries, dude, man. And do you know what was getting me? It was the angles that he was running from the carries, and with Nepo as well. Those little ones, those little tip-ons. Yay!
It was unbelievable. It's like something happened. Like someone lit a fire under their asses, and they're suddenly like, let's go, dude. But I think Moody's return is obviously a big kick in the butt for Carl in particular, right? Because you now know you're under pressure. You're no longer having to deal with just Bauer. You're actually dealing with Moody back. But you know what? He looked like a totally different man on the pitch on Saturday. I don't want to lie. I mean, even him trying to stay on the pitch after those first 5 minutes when he had ripped the stitches that he already had. But I mean, he just looked. He looked a man possessed. Nepo with that first hit.
And you know how happy it was that it was Matera who got on. I was like, take that.
Dude, and he was nowhere after that. He was
he got tired, bro. Oh.
But I think...
Dude, I was watching it. Yeah. I was at home, I was like, oh.
Dude, it was amazing. It was amazing to watch. But I think for me, the biggest thing that I picked, my takeaway from the game, was the defensive effort. It's almost like they really said to themselves, we've been slacking defensively. And whilst the defensive performances have improved, they still leaked a couple last week. And it's like they set out this week to say, we're not going to leak anymore. We're not going to let you through. We're going to put in a proper effort. And they managed to do that. Mm-hmm. Argentina didn't have an opportunity to. They were stuck in their half most of the time.
It was, you know, and you got to feel for Argentina. I think they put in a very valiant and streetwise defensive effort. They played Nick Berry down to a T.
Yeah.
But Nick Berry needs to go off and ref some club rugby, because that one, he's not been in the best form this year. I don't think he's been. Another one in the Lions game. Hey. Well, we all know. Yeah. He's not in the best form at the moment from a refereeing point of view, and I think the RGs picked that up really quickly, and they were playing him, especially in the first half. But let's not let that take away from their defensive effort. I think they defended well
for a long time. I think in the first half they'd already clocked 100 and something tackles, isn't it? For 30 minutes, sorry, something like that.
But you know how it is, man. Like, you can't defend all game. You cannot defend all game. It takes a special sort of mindset to be able to do that. And they were going to break eventually. And just that little patch at the end of the first half just killed them, just completely broke them. You know,
I still think they managed to score well though.
Who?
Argentina. I mean, when I say they managed to score well, listen to my statement. When I say they managed to score well, right, I think most teams, after having put in that many tackles, would have gotten 60 points. They would have gotten 60 points. Most international teams would have taken 60.
At one point, it looked like, this might get ugly. But just, like, the physical challenge, you could tell that now they were not, that physical challenge was not even now. You could tell from the first tackle that the All Blacks were like, nah, you think you're physical. We're also physical. Because that hit from Nepo was a statement.
The oil works at a laundromat. He folds everything.
I chired the guy. But But how strong is George Bridge in contact? I don't think he got taken down first time.
Dude, that guy is
explosive in contact. Like, wow.
He's special. I think he just had a bad finishing day, to be honest. Mm. Finishing-wise, he had a bad day. But I just think his work rate, his skills, and like you're saying, his ability to break the tackle, the first tackle, or at least give himself options in contact. That's just something special.
But if you want to talk special, let's talk Rico. Rico is special. Man's has just come back and like, oh man. And he's getting better and better every game. Because you know there was a patch in that game where Rico was the only one who was sort of, when Argentina were getting up off their feet, but he was the one that was just asking questions every single carry.
And getting those post-contact meters, bro.
He was getting post-contact meters. He was getting through the tackle. He was getting his hands free. And you're just like, what is this dude on? Like, and the fact that he only found out the night before that he's gonna be preparing to play. Well, he knew. Well, he was on the bench to play the 13 anyway, but it's a whole different ball game. You know, you've been playing 11 for the past few weeks and now it's just bang, get in 13. And he plays and he puts in an accomplished performance.
That was a good effort, yeah.
He puts on an accomplished performance. It was good to see. I still think there's a couple of things at that level, you know. I mean, like the line break he made was just beautiful. From the line out.
Yeah.
When he got the short ball from Jacobson. Yeah. Oh,
that was brilliant.
Where you see the difference between a Rico and an Albi is that an Albi would have looked to pass pretty much straight away.
I think it's that's just it, isn't it? That's stuff that comes from you learn over time.
Isn't that because of the position that he's normally in, where he's normally last man, and it's harder than take it.
Oh yeah, yes, it's the finishing instinct, you know. And to be fair to me, did look for the pass eventually. But the Albi would have been like, bang, let me attack this defender and go to pass straight. Let me attack this dude. But again, like in 2024, from 2024 onwards, you know, I honestly think that Rico is going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy.
There's a lot of positives when you watch the All Blacks again. I mean, yes, I spoke about Quinn on the weekend. I think you guys saw that. I was like, damn, this guy, every time he gets the ball, I'm excited.
He's a unit.
I haven't been this excited about a player in such a long time. And you can see guys like that, him, you know, with time, obviously, you can imagine him pairing with Rico, right? And how they all gel. And how things will start to come together, you know, over time, the more caps they get under their belt. And, it's nice to watch.
It is scary. It is absolutely frightening, the depth that these guys are building.
But what for me, the maturity as well is what's exciting me, right? He's really taking on that leadership role, right? He's not, you know, a lot of players would still shy away at this level, and I know a lot of these guys can't hide because, you know, most of the big leaders have all left. But he's stepped up to the plate and he's really saying, guys, listen, I'm here. I can be your go-to guy. You know, give it to me and I'll try and do what I can. And that's what you want to see from a player who's in that position, isn't it?
Willing
to take it, willing to try out what he can, what he knows he can do. He's confident enough. He's in that positive mindset at the moment. And you really, it's good to see. It's good to see.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Nah, it's. I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked about how the All Blacks are playing. I'm stoked at it. At just the depth they're building, and Fozzy, for all his doubters, is proving a point. He's proving a point. This game against the Box next week is gonna be an absolute humdinger. It's gonna be wow. I think this is gonna be a defining moment for them. It's going to be a defining moment for Fozzy, I think. I feel.
I just hope, you know, I just hope they don't build up to, what can I call it? Not build up, but I just hope they don't get overhyped.
I don't think they will, man.
Overpsyched for that particular game. And I know that, you know, it's like the Aussies, you know, and for the Aussies it worked because this is it. We're playing the world champions, but they also had nothing to lose, right? But I think with an all-black side, you usually have that thing where this is for anyone. The tests for the Springboks is if they beat the All Blacks, they are the best team in the world. That is the only team. That is the only team that stands in front of them that they need to prove that they are the best in the world at the moment.
I think it's a defining test for them as well, because as we all know, when you're the top dog, everybody plays the game of their life against you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see. I think the general ethos of how these guys are in New Zealand, the way they're like, keep calm above everything else, stay calm and go through the processes. I don't think we could see guys getting overhyped. Personally, I don't think so. I don't think you'll see it. And I think there's enough experience in that squad to keep that from happening.
I guess so. Yeah, I think so too. I just get worried, you know, because it's the All Blacks feel like they've got a point to prove as well, you know, and then
they've come
a long way. They've been waiting for this game for the last two years and a half, two years,
and they've been slowly building. It's gonna be one heck of a game.
How did you find the back row though?
Which one?
The New Zealand back row. I just didn't
Jacobson
see
the
cohesion that was there, obviously. And it's natural because you've got all of these changes that have happened and Jacobson has come in. He was very patchy, but I think, you know, I don't know.
When he was on, he was on. And he was on 80% of the time.
Yeah.
There's that 20% where he was just Jacobson actually had a good game because
he had a good game.
That fend of his is something. That fend was something. But one thing I'll criticize him on was when he broke from the scrum in the second half and then he just completely just went sideways. Completely. He didn't have any gas, he didn't outpace the flanker. That's the only sort of criticism I can give. But I thought he had a good game.
Dalton and Akira as well didn't quite have. Again, this is the problem, isn't it? We want Akira to have the same game he had the week before, isn't it? But it's a totally different opposition.
And he's playing alongside different guys. And different to be honest with you, this game proved that Madara, the Bali is in the back row. As much as we don't like to see it, but it's got to be Aki, Kane, and Adi. Has to be.
It looks more and more like that's the way.
Because the physicality that Sam Kane is going to bring, I hope men are prepared, because that one is a machine and he's going to bring something special. I just have this feeling, man. Like when he comes back, ooh, boy, it's exciting.
And another unsung hero for me was Scott Barrett.
Oh, yeah.
Scooter. He got through a ton of work on Saturday.
Scooter does what Scooter does.
Definitely was up there.
Yeah, he was up there. He was in the mix, bro. He did a lot of the unnoticeable stuff, you know.
Grunt.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Surprisingly calm episode. I think we need to have Tino on. Let's bring Tino on next week. I mean, on Thursday. What about
Thursday?
Yeah. I think the game's on Saturday, so we can chat more. Hopefully, hey, it's a Sunday for you. I mean, the games are on. So let's bring Tino on Thursday.
The Aussie right, guys, distance.
Thank you for that. We're going to go off. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great week. We'll catch up later on. Any last words, Drago, HB?
No, man. See you on Thursday.
See you Thursday, guys.
See you Thursday. Week. Cheers. Peace.
Hey.